Doctor, how do we measure the difference between what would be a normal cyclical change and how much these greenhouse gases emitted by man are making in what's going to happen?
What we do is we look at, we have very good records of how much, for example, the sun has emitted its energy coming to the Earth. We have lots of observatories. We're measuring that very carefully. And we compare that data with data about volcanic eruptions, which also influence the climate. They can cool the climate, reflect aspects of the sunlight. And we compare that with all our measurements of different heat-trapping gases in the atmosphere over the last century. And we look at the global average temperature, and we run models that look at ocean temperature, land temperature, everywhere around the Earth, and we compare the results, compare that global average temperature that happens in our computer simulation that adds all the factors that influence the climate, and compare that with the observed climate. And when we look at that, we see that the natural variables do not show that the Earth would be cooler today than it is. And when we add to the natural variables, the factors that influence climate, the heat-trapping gases that we've contributed, and also the pollution which we've contributed, those particles that come out of our smokestacks, they reflect sunlight and cool. They cool the climate. We have to add that in, too. And that, you compare natural factors plus our man-made factors, you see that that curve, if you look over the last century, absolutely is much closer matched to the observed temperatures than we see if you just use the natural factors alone. And it's by a significant amount. And that's why the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change issued in its report this very strong statement. It basically said that it's very likely, which in their terms means greater than 90% probability, that emissions of heat-trapping gases from human activities have caused most of the observed increase in globally average temperatures since the mid-20th century. It's a very strong statement from the international science community.
That is very strong. And that is, as they said it, without any modification. I know that in the report, I think, that came out last week, there were changes that were made in terms of the number of millions of people that would be affected and some other areas that were sort of politically affected and changed.
That's right. And that is the part of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the process. There are scientists in the room who participate in the full report, and then there are also government representatives, including the United States government representative, in the room, and they all go through this short summary of the deeper full report line by line, and that's where you were seeing those modifications. And the reason they wanted to make it a short document, one of the reasons they changed some of the billions to softer numbers, shall we say, is that when you have these scenarios for the future, some of them include population estimates of what the future is, and they have different estimates. So if you say one number, it's inaccurate. If you don't say it was this particular scenario, the storyline about population, about how we use energy, would give this many billions of people that are vulnerable to, say, sea level rise. Whereas if you lose this other scenario where we have perhaps less population in certain areas of the planet that are less of them would be vulnerable. So they chose to change a single number because they didn't have enough space to qualify these different scenarios. So it is a very tricky thing, but in general, anything that the IPCC says is kind of the lowest common denominator where everyone agrees. This is without a doubt. And you'll find many science papers out there that may go beyond and have more, shall we say, bolder predictions or projections of the future and some of the climate surprises, we call them, because it's, in general, as you say, a kind of conservative process.
So it was, I heard countries like our country, the U.S. and China and other emerging industrial nations that, let's say, had an effect on the report that resulted in the lower numbers being reported?
Yes, that is what happened. but in general, certainly, it's a process, and it shows that it's a policy-relevant document, and I think that governments around the world are paying attention to this science, and it's a very sensitive topic when you talk about the impacts on the ground in your backyard, who's most vulnerable, and the general conclusion is that basically people who are in countries who may not have the ability to have the resources to adapt will perhaps be the most vulnerable, and people in wealthier countries, industrialized nations, who also may not have the resources individually. For example, if you're elderly or if you're someone who suffers from cardiopulmonary disease, you're going to have more vulnerability to a heat wave. For example, in Chicago or in the United States, when a heat wave comes through and is sitting there for many days, sitting over your head, and you may not be able to afford air conditioning bills, then you are much more vulnerable in this country to heat wave stress and potential loss of life than someone who can afford to protect themselves and acclimate their climate.
Interesting you would mention Chicago. I think that's where the heat wave killed so many recently, right?
Yes, that was in 2005. And we also had in 2003 many people in Italy, France, and all different parts of Europe, the Netherlands, that it was a insufferable heat wave. It's a part of the world where many people, you know, expect their summers to be mild and don't have the capacity to deal with these incredibly, you know, more likelihood. Basically, people who studied that heat wave says it's just basically more likely because we are having a warming climate. In fact, when you look at when we've been collecting statistics since about 1850, very widespread statistics of temperatures in the ocean and on land, we have enough statistics to say that 11 of the last 12 years rank among the 12 hottest on record.